Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. Today's theme will be the Middle East crisis, and on that note, we'll be starting with an article by Benjamin Krems Master titled The Middle East, and then a couple of commentaries, one from Jimmy Carter, who is an ex-US president, and also one by Jeffrey Sachs, who is quite a well-known activist. And also we have a question and answer from Benjamin Krem, again on the subject of the Middle East. So here we go. We'll start with the Master's article. And for your interest, it was originally published in Share International magazine in May 1991. And of course, the actual conflict has gone on for many decades prior to that. So it's a very long-standing issue. Recent events in the Middle East have focused world attention on that troubled area in a new way. Gone are the assumptions that, if left alone, the many problems there will sort themselves out or go away. That conflict and division are endemic and, if contained, of no great account, and that nothing can be done for this historically and strategically important part of the world. The nature and technical advances of modern warfare have changed such thinking and are leading to a reappraisal of the role that the United Nations might play in that theatre. For the first time, the possibility of a nuclear-free zone for the Middle East is receiving serious attention. Also, for the first time, a final and fair solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is seen in many quarters to be of paramount importance, while a new urgency can be heard in the voices of those demanding democratic reforms. Herein lies the challenge and the opportunity for the community of nations to address these many problems with energy and wisdom. Gone are the days when laissez-faire will suffice to keep under control the many warring factions and interests which struggle for supremacy. The international community must accept responsibility for maintaining peace and prosperity in the region, must use its newfound authority to bring to the negotiating table the representatives of the various peoples, and must guarantee the implementation of the compromise agreements which would follow serious negotiations. Only thus will fair and lasting solutions be found and true peace restored. The time is ripe for such action. The time has come to lift forever the dark clouds which, for many years, have menaced world peace and which today literally darken the sun. To reach such agreements and implement such action will not be easy. No simple solutions stand ready to hand. Much will depend on the readiness of the various contenders to look with realism at the future prospects of the region without far-reaching changes of approach. A stark and bitter future indeed would follow their refusal to address the problems with wisdom and goodwill. The time is not far off when wiser minds than those now grappling with the situation may offer their advice. The long-withheld hand of hierarchy may soon be extended openly in aid. With this in mind, we may look more hopefully to the future of this long-suffering portion of the world and see a new light scatter the dark clouds of hatred and war. In recent weeks, the Master Jesus has appeared in vision to the soldiers of both warring sides, each claiming his appearance as a blessing on their cause. Soon, Maitreya himself will appear to many and proffer his assistance. His guidance, if followed, will lead the world back to sanity and safety and open the way for the demonstration in the Middle East of the rightful brotherhood of those now divided and estranged. And it's a little comment that goes with this article. Since the inception of Share International magazine, Benjamin Cram's master has provided articles to be published not only at the time they were written, but also whenever appropriate according to world circumstances. And indeed, many articles seem more relevant now than when they were first published. The next short piece is a fragment from an open letter from former US President Jimmy Carter, who's a member of the distinguished group of elder statesmen and women called the Elders. And you might know that Helen Clark has recently joined this group. And here we go. We believe the two-state solution is the only viable solution and remain convinced that a just and lasting deal is possible if all leaders show the necessary political will. And Jimmy Carter goes on to say, I know that many people in Israel and abroad find it hard to accept the idea of talking to Hamas. The elders utterly condemn any terrorist acts that harm innocent people. But if you're serious about peacemaking, you have to sit down and talk to your enemies. The situation in Gaza is intolerable. 8 months after a devastating war, not one destroyed house has been rebuilt, and people cannot live with the respect and dignity they deserve. And this is actually just looking here. It's in part of a letter that was written between late April and early May 2015. So, of course, the current war is not the first that has occurred between Israel and Palestine. And he goes on, Gaza's 1.8 million people are besieged, isolated and desperate. They cannot enjoy any of the aspects of normal life, from trade and travel to health and education, that people in my country, the US, and indeed in Israel, take for granted. We were told repeatedly by people from all sides of the political divide that, without any meaningful and rapid change in their circumstances, another war was inevitable. In fact, one Israeli mother we met at a kibbutz which borders Gaza, summed it up perfectly when she told us, if they, the Gazans, have nothing to live for, then they will find something to die for. Another war would be disastrous, not just for the people of Gaza, but for all Palestinians and all Israelis as well. Everyone who lives in the Holy Land has suffered under the shadow of conflict for long enough. We believe the two-state solution is the only viable solution and remain convinced that a just and lasting deal is possible if all leaders show the necessary political will. I know that many people in Israel and abroad find it hard to accept the idea of talking to Hamas. The elders utterly condemn any terrorist acts that harm innocent people. But if you're serious about peacemaking, you have to sit down and talk to your enemies. It's what the British did in Northern Ireland. It's what the French did in Algeria. And it's what the Israelis themselves did with Yasser Arafat, someone once branded a terrorist who went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize together with Yitzhak Rabin. So now for a question and answer. Answer, of course, given by Benjamin Krem in Share International magazine. And I'm not sure we have a date for that, but in mind, some of the information really is rather timeless and just as relevant now as it was back when originally published. Benjamin Krem remarked in a number of his books in Share International magazine and in answers to questions that while a solution and reconciliation must be aimed at, that it will take Maitreya himself to bring about this reconciliation. And the following answer to a question illustrates his thinking on this issue. The question is, you have said that one of Maitreya's priorities would be to find solutions to the conflict in the Middle East, and that it will not be solved until he has actually come forward. Is that because the different people involved in the Middle East, so the Muslims, the Jews and the Christians, will respond to him as their world teacher and will recognise that he has come for all of them and that their separatism will start to change from that response? And Mr. Krem's reply, the fundamentalists of all religions will probably be the last people to recognise and respond to Maitreya, but eventually they will. The Palestinian-Israeli problem, which is central to the problems of the Middle East, I believe will only be solved through the action of Maitreya. But even Maitreya cannot impose a solution, he can only advise. But his acceptance by countless millions in the world as a spiritual teacher and guide will make it easier for the most fanatical Israeli Jew or Palestinian Muslim to accept the necessity of living together, side by side. This can only take place when justice is given to the Palestinians. When justice is done and seen to be done, fully and completely, then the solution will become acceptable by the Muslims and even if grudgingly by the Israelis. They have eventually to learn to live side by side, and they can only do so in a state of justice. Otherwise, there would inevitably be perpetual war between the two. Unless the Middle East problems are solved, there will never be peace in the world. And we know if there is no peace, then the future for humanity would be very bleak indeed. Muslims await the Imam Mahdi, and the Jews await the Messiah, and many will be ready to recognise Maitreya as such. This will, I am sure, soften their stance in relation to each other. But the important thing is that justice must be given to the Palestinians. The West Bank was gifted by the late King Hussein of Jordan as a homeland for the Palestinians, and that means the whole of the West Bank, not the fraction which has been offered to the Palestinians so far. It requires the return of the 4.7 million refugees, mainly in Lebanon, to their homeland, and the status of Jerusalem, which is of major importance to the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians, to be changed into an open central city for all three groups. And I believe it will take Maitreya to bring this reconciliation about, but so it will be. And another article, rather than a question and answer, this is an article from, I think it's from the October issue of the magazine. It's titled Saving Israel and Palestine. And this article is by Jeffrey D. Sachs. It starts with, following Hamas's heinous attack on innocent Israeli civilians, senior Israeli military strategists are threatening the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. This would be another Nakba, or which is Arabic for catastrophe, akin to the mass expulsion of Palestinians from their homes and land in 1948. If Israel commits massive war crimes in Gaza in the face of global calls for restraint, Israel would put its fundamental national security at risk. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has spoken clearly, persuasively and eloquently about the need for a ceasefire, the release of hostages, the protection of the civilians of Gaza, support for Israel's security and the decisive move to a Palestinian state in line with previous UN agreements. In this, he speaks for the great preponderance of humanity in the vast majority of UN member states, who seek peace and justice for both Israelis and Palestinians. All five permanent members of the UN Security Council, that's the US, UK, France, Russia and China, have a common interest in a ceasefire followed by a comprehensive agreement including Palestinian statehood. All of these, what they called P5 nations, desire good relations with both Israel and the Arab world. All have a strong national interest in peace, including security for Israel and statehood for Palestine. This is true even of the United States, that the US backs ethnic cleansing in Gaza, American influence in the Muslim world, already in decline in recent years, will irrevocably collapse. Secretary General Guterres has charted the framework for peace, and he says, "We have approached a moment of calamitous escalation and find ourselves at a critical crossroads. It is imperative that all parties and those with influence over them do everything possible to avoid fresh violence or spillover of the conflict to the West Bank and the wider region. All hostages in Gaza must be released. Civilians must not be used as human shields. International humanitarian law, including the Geneva Conventions, must be respected and upheld. Civilians on both sides must be protected at all times. Hospitals, schools, clinics, and United Nations premises must never be targeted. But any solution to this tragic, decades-long ordeal of death and destruction requires full recognition of the circumstances of both Israelis and Palestinians, of both their realities and both their perspectives. Israel must see its legitimate needs for security materialized, and Palestinians must see a clear perspective for the establishment of their own state realized, in line with United Nations resolutions, international law, and previous agreements. If the international community truly believes in these two objectives, we need to find a way to work together to find real, lasting solutions. Solutions that are based on our common humanity and that recognise the need for people to live together despite histories and circumstances that tear them apart." And I'm just realising we're not going to have time for the whole article, so I'm going to skip to the last few paragraphs. "From time to time, brave leaders have arisen who have convinced the sceptics to try for peace, and who have told the fundamentalists that both sides deserve respect and justice. Egypt's Anwar Sadat was such a remarkable figure. So too was Israel's Yitzhak Rabin. Both were assassinated by fundamentalists of their own nation, martyred like other great peacemakers of our time, including Mahatma Gandhi, John and Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. As Jesus himself martyred, taught, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. The Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu, before the current unity government, was the most right-wing in its history. Several extreme right-wingers are in the current cabinet. The Israeli media carry calls to make Gaza a place where no human being can live. There must be no place in the affairs of nations, least of all at the United Nations, for ideologies of hate. The nations of the world operating under the UN Charter and defending the Universal Declaration of Human Rights must move urgently to help save both Israel and Palestine. If Israel attempts another Nakba, it would suffer horrendous deaths of its own young men and women in the fighting, kill thousands and displace hundreds of thousands of innocent Palestinians, and stain the name of Israel for future generations. The UN Security Council should head off this calamity by giving urgent and timely support to the millions of Israeli and Palestinian people who yearn for a lasting peace with security and justice for all." And that full article can be found on the commondreams.org website. Again, the name of the author is Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, D. Sachs, S-A-C-H-S. Thank you very much for listening. And if you would like further information, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.